You're listening to 90.1 FM, WDCE, and streaming online, WDCE.org. This is DJ Strider's Strange Cucumber Show. And now, a little Sidestep Complex.
Mazes, problems we contemplate. Are we gone forever? Consciousness complicate. Our hearts are severed by astronomy's stronger grace. Tangled deep in the cobwebs of constellate. Spangled beams that run. Single show planet in sight. Dawn's feeding to jam plus I'm feeding to. Get handed the mic, screaming to it. Manifest rhymes seen as examples of life, right? But only seen as a marvelous blend of particle stars that are dim and appear to our hearts as a grim carnival concocted of sin. See? Concocted of sin. See? Yeah.
That was Sidestep Complex with Jigsaw Mix 1. DJ Strider's Strange Cucumber Show is the only place you can hear the custom tracks they make for my show, but there's a lot of their other music that you can hear online. Look them up, Sidestep Complex, on Facebook, or just type it into Google and you'll find their page. Also, a couple albums up on iTunes. Definitely worth checking out, and if you've been listening to my show, you know how good their stuff is. We'll play a little bit more of that later. Stay tuned.
And now, Crosley Bendix, cultural reviewer and director of Stylistic Premonitions for the Universal Media Netweb, with today's Arts Review.
Signs so big they're never out of view. Sounds surround. Box talk, 100,000 characters on newsprint. Tears fall silently in a dark theater. These are a few lines from the forthcoming album by Negative Land, but they suggest much more than that. As awareness of how the media environment we occupy affects and directs our inner life grows, some resist. The possibility of adding pimples to the retouched photo of the face on the cover of America are only now being seen as artistic territory. The cultural jammer works his secret in public. The skillfully reworked billboard with new lettering painted in the same style that the original has, turning strategic corporate elements back on themselves in a manner which is itself invisible, directs the public viewer to a consideration of the original corporate strategy in the context of a thoughtful reaction. The studio for the cultural jammer is the world at large. His tools are paid for by others. In art with real risk. You people still painting out there, all you crazy stone cutters, would you go to jail for your art? Well, the punishment for jammer art will probably more often take the form of fines and lawsuits. So, an anonymous art. A piece is not finished until the artist doesn't get identified. The arena, however, guarantees personal satisfaction for the artist, unlike the small, closed circle of fine art theorists at which traditional art forms aim themselves. So, keep your ears up and your eyes open. A jammer could appear on your TV, or a radio show like this one, or in your favorite newspaper or fan magazine, even in your art gallery. You can spot jam art easily. It always supersedes found content as it rearranges it, causing you to reflect on the nature of what you're actually encountering. Good morning.
Been listening to cultural reviewer and social critic Crosley Bendix.
Usted tiene que llamar de un teléfono de teletecla.
To hear instructions in English, press 1.
Si desea recibir la información en español, marque el 2.
Welcome to the Virginia Employment Commission Information Line. For unemployment insurance claims and benefit information, press 1. For employer and you have reached the Claims and Benefits main menu. You may return to this menu at any time during the call by pressing star. Please listen carefully, as our menu options have changed. We now offer automatic payment for your weekly benefits. If you know the number of the option you wish to access, you may enter it now. For specific information about your benefit account, press 1. To file your continued claim for benefits, press 2. You have reached the Virginia Employment Commission's automated unemployment insurance benefits filing system. You may experience delays if you call during our peak hours on Sunday and Monday. Avoid these delays by calling in the afternoon or later in the week. Please enter your Social Security number.
An eye is meant to see. The soul is here for its own joy, a head for loving a true love. The eye goes blind when it only wants to see why. The eye goes blind when it only wants to see why.
I die. Burn, burn, burn.
eyes meant to see. The soul is here for its own joy. Ahead for loving a true love. Love is for vanishing into the sky. The mind for learning what men have done and tried to do. Mysteries are not to be solved. The eye goes blind when it only wants to see why. The eye goes blind when it only wants to see why.
That thoughtful selection is from an album called Vision, The Spirit of Rumi. Certainly something to think about. Now a selection from a book called The Technological Society by Jacques Ellul. Originally read this because I had heard Aldous Huxley recommended it, and since I respect his mind, this ended up being a good recommendation. Published in, well, here it says 64, Huxley died in 63, so obviously there was a earlier version in French, I guess, that he read, that he was referring to. And in the book, Ellul calls technology technique, he refers to it as technique, and I'm reading a section from chapter 2, The Characterology of Technique. This diversity of influences which operated on all technical mechanisms explains in part the slow tempo of progress in these areas. To obey a multiplicity of motives and not reason alone seems to be an important keynote of man. When, in the 19th century, society began to elaborate an exclusively rational technique which acknowledged only considerations of efficiency, it was felt that not only the traditions but the deepest instincts of humankind had been violated. Men sought to reintroduce indispensable factors of aesthetics and morals. Out of this effort came the unprecedented creation of certain aspects of style in the 1880s. The tool with machine-made embellishments. Sewing machines were decorated with cast-iron flowers, and the first tractors bore engraved bulls' heads. That it was wasteful to supply such embellishments soon became evident. Their ugliness doubtless contributed to the realization. Moreover, these flourishes represented a wrong and technically speaking, a wrong road, technically speaking. The machine can become precise only to the degree that its design is elaborated with mathematical rigor in accordance with use, and an embellishment could increase air resistance, throw a wheel out of balance, alter velocity or precision. There was no room in practical activity for gratuitous aesthetic preoccupations. The two had to be separated. A style then developed based on the idea that the line best adapted to use is the most beautiful. Abstract techniques and their relation to morals underwent the same evolution. Earlier economic or political inquiries were inextricably bound with ethical inquiry, and men attempted to maintain this union artificially even after they had recognized the independence of economic technique. Modern society is, in fact, conducted on the basis of purely technical considerations. But when men found themselves going counter to the human factor, when they reintroduced, and in an absurd way, all manner of moral theories related to the rights of man, the League of Nations, liberty, justice, none of this has any more importance than the ruffled sunshade of McCormick's First Reaper. When these moral flourishes overly encumber technical progress, they are discarded, more or less speedily, with more or less ceremony, but with determination nonetheless. This is the state we are in today. The elimination of these evolutionary factors and of technical diversification has brought about a transformation of the basic process of this evolution. Technical progress today is no longer conditioned by anything other than its own calculus of efficiency. The search is no longer personal, experimental, workmanlike. It is abstract, mathematical, and industrial. This does not mean that the individual no longer participates. On the contrary, progress is made only after innumerable individual experiments. But the individual participates only to the degree that he is subordinate to the search for efficiency. to the degree that he resists all currents today considered secondary, such as aesthetics, ethics, fantasy. Insofar as the individual represents this abstract tendency, he is permitted to participate in technical creation, which is increasingly independent of him and increasingly linked to its own mathematical law. It was long believed that rational systematization would act to reduce the number of technical types. In the measure of the factors of diversification were eliminated, the result would be fewer and more simple and precise types. Thus, during the latter part of the 19th century, in the mechanical, medical, and administrative spheres, exact instruments were available from which fantasy, irrationality had been totally eliminated. The result was fewer instruments. And further progress was made, however, a new element of diversification came into play. In order that an instrument be perfectly efficient, it had to be perfectly adapted, but the most rational instrument possible takes no account of the extreme diversity of the operational environment. This represents an essential characteristic of technique. Every procedure implies a single specific result. As Porter Gale Perrin puts it, quote, just a word evokes an idea which exactly corresponds to no other word, unquote. So a fixed technical procedure generates a fixed result. Technical methods are not multipurposive or adaptable or interchangeable. Perrin has demonstrated this in detail with reference to judicial technique. It also holds for everything else. Take the well-known example cited by Pierre Latil of a machine brought to the highest possible pitch of perfection, the purpose of which was to produce from cast iron at a single stroke cylinder heads for aircraft engines. The machine was 28 meters long and cost $100,000, but the moment the required type of cylinder head was changed, the machine became good for nothing. It was unadaptable to any new operation. A judicial system may function perfectly adequately in France, but not in Turkey. For true efficiency, not only must be the rational aspect of the machine be taken into account, but also its adaptations to the environment. A military tank will have a different form depending upon whether it is to be used in mountainous terrain or in the rice paddies. The more an instrument is designed to execute a single operation efficiently and with utmost precision, the less it can be multipurposive. And Hillel comments on the narrowing of our thinking and the rigidity of our approaches and the hyper-specialization that is actually far less useful and less adaptable. And after all, it's adaptation, mutation, and change that brought us to where we are today. So, little commentary about the value of freeform radio, and WDCE FM is the only freeform radio station in Richmond. Other ones call themselves independent. Even some of the corporate ones have the gall to call themselves alternative. But only WDCE is freeform, where you're not managed, you're not produced, you're not bossed around, told what to say, and the shows don't all sound the same. So, and of course, there's a little extra airtime, a little dead airtime, but we can fill that up. But the value of freeform is very important for experimentation, for spontaneous play. The rigidly produced can become a limiting crutch and something we should keep in mind. Here's a song called The Last Best Summer by P.T. Burnham The Last Best Summer from P.T. Burnham.
Dangerous. economical meltdown. New threat set to keep a pocket that's spellbound. Upset, stressed out. Everyone's depressed cause their work is worth less now. Somehow it's stabbing, it must be magical. Break me off a piece of that inflatable capital. Let's get down. The party doesn't stop till the bubble pop. Who the hell is trying to tell us we ain't about to rock right now? It's quite clear, the nightmare is right here. Lights out. Party's over. Go home. World on the water, world going under, weather's getting high, welcome to the summer. Oil on the water, world going under, weather's getting hotter, baby, welcome to the oil on the water, world is going under, weather's getting hotter, welcome to the summer. Uncommon glitch in the fabric. Hacking systems of bits incompatible with the status quo. Unpredictable shifts in your data flow. Free radical misfit. Since way back when we kept drums on zip disks to vibrate your hips with. We stay up and electric to the big switch flips. Now shut it all down. There's no time for boredom or fucking around. It's just a message to a sorted infinity. Better solder up your circuits. The circus is in town.
This is a man-made disaster.
Meanwhile, two sides of the same fake smiles and lie on the TV, but the people can tell. We smell that bullshit from a mile away. We know that freedom isn't something you can sell. Back pin on your lapel. I'll spit on that and all that it entails. Bribes, bombs, cops, jails. Under surveillance, but they're on your side. Nowhere to run to, baby. Nowhere to hide.
With fictions, his little Jimmy always fidgeting, can't pay attention, wanna pump him full of Ritalin, and now his head is in dad's medicine cabinet, just 15 with a bad speed habit, popping pills just to carry on, and the parents speak about how it boils down to buried bonds. No, what did you expect? You reap what you sow, what you see is what you get, and these days you better be the best, and we got what you need, so save your regrets. It's a brave new world, a brand new day, filling name brand innovation, okay? So sit back, relax, and face facts, kids, it's a Pac-Man nation. All I wanna do is take another dose, space out, pop pills and chase ghosts. All I wanna do is take another dose, space out, pop pills and chase ghosts. All I wanna do is take another dose, space out, pop pills and chase ghosts. All I wanna do is take another dose. Oh, well, they'll keep you young and they'll help you sleep. But ask around town, baby, pills ain't cheap. Need some relief, need deep in debt. Well, we take Visa and American Express. Yes, yes, let us get it off your chest. 24-7 with that chemical correct. Stick with us and you'll never be depressed. Never feel pain or complain about stress. Cause your brain's a mess, there's too much confusion. You've got problems, we've got a bottle of solutions. It's a whole new way to keep yourself smiling on cue each day. And it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Pop a couple, wait a minute, and it's just remember to take your medication and keep on laughing. It's a Pac-Man nation. Take
take another dose. Space out, pop pills and chase ghosts. All I wanna do is take another dose. Space out, pop pills and chase ghosts. All I wanna do is take another dose. Space out, pop pills and chase ghosts. All I wanna do is take another dose. Pop pills and chase ghosts. Space Ghost.
Fuck it, what's on Space Ghost?
As the 21st century began, human evolution was at a turning point. Natural selection, the process by which the strongest, the smartest, the fastest reproduced in greater numbers than the rest, a process which had once favored the noblest traits of man, now began to favor different traits. Most science fiction of the day predicted a future that was more civilized and more intelligent. But as time went on, things seemed to be heading in the opposite direction, a dumbing down. How did this happen? Evolution does not necessarily reward intelligence. With no natural predators to thin the herd, it began to simply reward those who reproduced the most and left the intelligent to become an endangered species. Things looked bleak for Joe, but they were even worse for mankind. As Joe and Rita lay dormant, the years passed, and mankind became stupider at a frightening rate. Some had high hopes that genetic engineering would correct this trend in evolution, but sadly, the greatest minds and resources were focused on conquering hair loss and prolonging erections. Meanwhile, the population exploded and intelligence continued to decline until humanity was incapable of solving even its most basic problems, like garbage, which had been stacked for centuries with no plan whatsoever, leading to the Great Garbage Avalanche of 2505, which would set in motion the events that would change the world forever.
Couple of relevant clips from the movie Idiocracy. If you were tuned in when we were playing some Aldous Huxley earlier, definitely some connections with references to discussion or thought about reproduction and world population. You're listening to WDCE 90.1 FM and WDCE.org streaming online. This is DJ Strider's Strange Cucumber Show. I'm going to read a few selections from a book called Noise, The Political Economy of Music by Jacques Attali. And in chapter one called Listening, under a section called Sounds of Power, Noise, and Politics. More than colors and forms, it is sounds and their arrangements that fashion societies. With noise is born disorder and its opposite, the world. With music is born power and its opposite, subversion. In noise can be read the codes of life, the relations among men. Clamor, melody, dissonance, harmony. When it is fashioned by man with specific tools, when it invades man's time, when it becomes sound, noise is the source of purpose and power, the dream of the dream, music. It is at the heart of the progressive rationalization of aesthetics, and it is a refuge for residual irrationality. It is a means of power and a form of entertainment. Everywhere, codes analyze, mark, restrain, train, repress, and channel the primitive sounds of language, of the body, of tools, of objects, of the relations to self and other. All music, any organization of sounds, is then a tool for the creation or consolidation of a community, of a totality. It is what links a power center to its subjects, and thus, more generally, it is an attribute of power in all of its forms. Therefore, any theory of power today must include a theory of the localization of noise and its endowment with form. Among birds, a tool for marking territorial boundaries, noise is inscribed from the start within the panoply of power. Equivalent to the articulation of a space, it indicates the limits of a territory and the way to make oneself heard within it, how to survive by drawing one's sustenance from it. And since noise is the source of power, power has always listened to it with fascination. It is an extraordinary and little-known text. Leibniz describes in minute detail the ideal political organization, the, quote, palace of marvels, a harmonious machine within which all of the sciences of time and every tool of power are deployed. Quote, these buildings will be constructed in such a way that the master of the house will be able to hear and see everything that is said and done without himself being perceived, by means of mirrors and pipes, which will be a most important thing for the state and a kind of political confessional. Eavesdropping, censorship, unquote. Eavesdropping, censorship, recording, and surveillance are weapons of power. The technology of listening in on, ordering, transmitting, and recording noise is at the heart of this apparatus. The symbolism of the frozen words, of the tables of the law, of recorded noise and eavesdropping, these are the dreams of political scientists and the fantasies of men in power. To listen, to memorize, this is the ability to interpret and to control history, to manipulate the culture of a people, to channel its violence and hopes. Who among us is free of the feeling that this process, taken to an extreme, is turning the modern state into a gigantic monopolizing noise emitter and, at the same time, a generalized eavesdropping device? Eavesdropping on what? In order to silence whom? The answer, clear and implacable, is given by the theorists of totalitarianism. They have all explained, indistinctly, that it is necessary to ban subversive noise because it betokens demands for cultural autonomy, support for differences or marginality, a concern for maintaining tonalism, the primacy of melody, a distrust of new languages, codes, or instruments, a refusal of the abnormal. These characteristics are common to all regimes of that nature. They are direct translations of the political importance of cultural repression and noise control. For example, in the opinion of Zhadnov, according to a speech he gave in 1947 and never really disclaimed, music, an instrument of political pressure, must be tranquil, reassuring, and calm. The economic and political dynamics of the industrialized societies living under parliamentary democracy also lead power to invest art and to invest in art without necessarily theorizing its control, as is done under dictatorship. Everywhere we look, the monopolization of the broadcast of messages, the control of noise, and the institutionalization of the silence of others assure the durability of power. Here, this channelization takes on a new, less violent, and more subtle form. Laws of the political economy take the place of censorship laws. Music and the musician essentially become either objects of consumption like everything else, recuperators of subversion, or meaningless noise. Musical distribution techniques are today contributing to the establishment of a system of eavesdropping and social surveillance. Muzak, the American corporation that sells standardized music, presents itself as the, quote, security system of the 1970s, because it permits use of musical distribution channels for the circulation of orders. The monologue of standardized stereotype music accompanies and hems in a daily life in which in reality, no one has the right to speak anymore, except those among the exploited who can still use their music to shout their suffering, their dreams of the absolute and freedom. What is called music today is all too often only a disguise for the monologue of power. However, and this is the supreme irony of all, never before have musicians tried so hard to communicate with their audience, and never before has that communication been so deceiving. Music now seems hardly more than a somewhat clumsy excuse for self-glorification of musicians and the growth of a new industrial sector, Still, it is an activity that is essential for knowledge and social relations, science, message, and time. This remarkable absence of text on music is tied to the impossibility of a general definition, to a fundal ambiguity. The science of the rational use of sounds, that is, those sounds organized as a scale, that is how Littre at the end of the 19th century defined music in order to reduce it to its harmonic dimension to confuse it with pure syntax. Michael Saris, on the contrary, points to the, quote, extreme simplicity of the signals, the message at its extreme, a ciphered mode of communicating universals, unquote, as a way of reminding us that beyond syntax there is meaning. But which meaning? Music is a dialectical confrontation with the course of time. Science, message, and time, music is all of that simultaneously. It is, by its very presence, a mode of communication between man and his environment, a mode of social expression and duration itself. It is therapeutic, purifying, enveloping, liberating. It is rooted in a comprehensive conception of knowledge about the body, in pursuit of exorcism through noise and dance, but it is also a pastime to be produced, heard, and exchanged. Thus, it exhibits the three dimensions of all human works: joy for the creator, use value for the listener, and exchange value for the seller. In this seesaw between the various possible forms of human activity, music was and still is ubiquitous. Art is everywhere, for artifice is at the heart of reality. Selection from Jacques Adelaide's Noise, The Political Economy of Music, published in, well, he's originally in France, in French. The English translation, though, was 1985. The original French version was 1977. You're listening to DJ Strider's Strange Cucumber Show on 90.1 FM and streaming online, WDCE.org, University of Richmond Radio. Thank you for joining us. Station number is 2898790, and you can email me at striderlee@gmail.com, Striderlee. And I also have a page for the show on Facebook.
Saucers have invaded our planet. Washington, London, Paris, Moscow are key targets. The whole world is under attack. Can it survive?
And a mess. Empty your brain and love that Bob.
Love you.
Messages now part of and registered in your subconscious mind. Every time you say, see, hear, or think.
Bob.
That's your key phrase. It will trigger the entire message without your being aware of it. It will signal your subconscious mind, flashing a message. The subconscious will listen and absorb this message.
Exactly.
Let's look at the word subgenius. It does not simply mean just below a genius. Sub-G intelligence level can range far, far below genius. The subgenius does not pretend to super-knowledge, but to sub-knowledge. Knowledge of the under-things, the hollow earth from whose darkness issue the Nazi hell creatures and other demons of the abyss. It is in contemplation of the under-things, the underwear lurking just below the clothing of existence, that the sub-genii display what genius they have. The study of this substratum, the foundation garment underlying reality, is the sub-genius's strength, for it is from this source that he or she taps the infinite resources of a force that is completely incomprehensible to humans, the force of slack. Slack, what is it? Well, if you have to ask, you will never know. You were born with original slack, an infinite supply of it. But the conspiracy has most of it now. They don't even know what it is, but that hasn't stopped them from stealing it away. How do you think you ended up a slave to their so-called work?
It's the human condition. It's things falling apart. It's fat ladies in double knit jumpsuits beating their kids in Kroger's.
True slack is by definition indefinable. It is a kind of direct perception, unfettered by common sense. It is not mere laziness. It is rather a kind of active sloth. Slack in its pure form makes happiness seem like agony by comparison. Next to slack, the nirvana known to mystics and saints is like endless torment. Slack is different for each person. One might call it something for nothing. But the normals, the mediocritans, the somnambulacs and pseudo-subslans have tried to make it something which we have been led to believe we must work to buy. It is this yearning for slack that separates us from the normals. The human may live out his entire life in a grinding cycle of slacklessness, his hours consumed by meaningless toil, interspersed with meaningless leisure. Yet he never feels cheated. He thinks it is natural. Perhaps we should pity them, but face it, most people are venal jerks, half-witted cattle racing each other to be first to the slaughterhouse and stampeding you along with them.
Death to the anti-Bob and pink creatures who would defame our temple.
Wouldn't you like revenge on these mediocritans, these pink boys, these box-dwelling Barbies and Kens, these normals who have made normality the norm? Pinks are but living stereotypes, insensate meat puppets and food tubes who lack and fear the spark of originality that ignites every subgenius soul. But the long, senseless march into slacklessness may soon come to an end. Oh, it won't happen without a bitter struggle, but at least there is hope.
For in this, the 20th century, we have seen the coming of a savior, a beacon of slack, a banner behind which we may all unite. It is the coming of J.R. Bob Dobbs and his mighty Church of the Subgenius.
Nuclear radio.
As always, the show is thanks to and inspired by the Church of the Subgenius. And if you're not in on the Chilluminati conspiracy, you need to join up. Here's another one from Sidestep Complex. We are machines.
sweet arms. They call me electric because I function like machinery. When I clutch the mic, it seems to be at push, and I have greenery. My rhyme schemes are mechanics, just might easily damage some nice speakers and amps. It's ballsy and hectic, it's always the best shit, never less than that. If you ever question scattle, you spread the clever routes. Some extra special venom gems, I sip to sever counts. A treasure chest of specs is blessed, man, I depend the pad. A solid sonic structure forms my brain round it spins. And cosmic comets rupture from the fucking sound of it. My beings are commandals, the race to my brain with wealth of knowledge. Attempt to polish them, speed by blades of steel.
Raj believes his heart is high here. Oh, cruel, bitter, back-breaking non-bliss that pretends us away from art or other soulless to make us think we are machines that just decay and then implode from all the life and love that will go untold. Furious me, stewing overboard, fighting boredom from the word, the weight that binds the kids berserk, quickening the pulse and then the plots and then the story will unfold the favor of a match, passion, sweet and hot and never cold.
Okay, I think it's time for me to wind the show down. This has been DJ Strider. You've been listening to The Strange Cucumber Show on WDCE 90.1 FM and streaming online, WDCE.org, University of Richmond Radio. Again, if you want to contact me, the email is striderlee@gmail.com, striderlee@gmail.com, and you can also check out the show's Facebook page, Strange Cucumber, and if you like it, send us a note or call on the station so we can get back on the schedule. I will continue to show up as I can and send you out with another song from Vision 2, The Spirit of Rumi.
Inside the great mystery that is, we don't really own anything. What is this competition we feel then? Before we go, one at a time, through the same gate. If you've known it from before the beginning of the universe.